Sodium chloride, table salt, remains still relatively inexpensive, about $1.30 for one of those Morton salt containers in the store. It is a ubiquitously available item and is necessary to flavoring. More importantly, perhaps, it's also necessary for proper physiological functioning of the human body. It is a staple of life, and it always has been through human history. It's interesting to consider how the role of salt in life has found its way into the idioms of our language. So surely you've heard comments like, "She is salt of the earth." You've heard that, right? She is salt of the earth, which is to say, she is a good person, solid, trustworthy, reliable. Or maybe you've heard, "Oh, he's worth his salt," right? That stems from the practice in ancient times of being paid your wages in a measure of salt. It was that necessary. That is to say, he is good at his work and deserves to be paid his full wage. He's dependable. He's trustworthy. Even our word salary comes from the Latin root sal, meaning salt. Because a Roman soldier working for the empire received a monthly wage of salt as part of his payment. Jesus would have had these idioms and many more in his quiver of metaphors, and the folks to whom he was speaking surely would have understood salt's importance in their lives. We know this, that without refrigeration, in pre-modernity, salt served as an important food preservative, especially for meat and fish to be dried and not spoil. It was also an antiseptic long before antibiotics arrived on the scene. You've heard the phrase, pouring salt into the wound, right? Well, the notion of pouring salt in the wound conveys the double pain of the wound initially itself, and then the burning sensation when you poured salt in it to try to sterilize it so you would prevent infection. It burned because it's an astringent, but it gave the possibility of healing a fighting chance. But for the record, friends, let me say, I don't recommend pouring salt into the wound, literally, metaphorically, or otherwise. Jesus shares this pithy wisdom early on in his ministry. He's speaking to folks whom he would have probably known, many of their family members, in the small rural villages around the Sea of Galilee. He's returned there because he's gotten in hot water already with the religious leaders. And so he's gone back. And these are the common folk of his roots. They are eking out an existence on the land using their hands to make ends meet. They're trying to navigate the hardships of imperial oppression from Rome and harsh taxation. They were people who were innately drawn to Jesus' words of hope and healing and his vision for God's realm of justice and peace and the fullness of life. They longed for that. And so his words of encouragement speak to them. They're part of a larger discourse we call the Sermon on the Mount, in which Jesus offers radically new ways of seeing the world and challenging ways of conducting ourselves in the world if we're going to follow him, while also critiquing some of the institutionalized ways of understanding what it is to be righteous. Righteous. Now there's a loaded term. Was then, still is, often misunderstood, certainly misapplied. But I think at its core, what Jesus meant by that word righteous was simply being in right relationship with God and with your neighbor. Conduct that nourishes those right relationships is righteous. Conduct that stifles it is not. This brief passage is a hinge point in the Sermon on the Mount. It spans three chapters, but this is a core piece. He's speaking to people who have been told throughout most of their lives that they are not worthy. They were told that by religious leaders and imperial leaders alike. And then along come Jesus, who says, "You are salt of the earth." And notice he doesn't say, if you do such and such, sometime in the future, you may have a hope of being salt of the earth. He says, you are salt of the earth. Present tense, present attributes. And what I just have to envision as a tender, encouraging moment, he is saying, you are salt of the earth. I know who you are. I see you for who you are. You are good and trustworthy and reliable. You are worthy of this movement I'm about, Jesus says. You are worthy in God's eyes. You are worthy. How often does our world try to convince us otherwise, right? But Jesus comes along and says, you are worthy. Present tense. My friends, I arrived in this place 10 years ago last September. I brought with me a practice from my church back in Arkansas, where as the presider turned to the liturgy of the table, the second half of Holy Communion, we would offer the words back in Fayetteville, Arkansas, wherever you are on your journey of faith, you are welcome here. I hope you hear the echo of that in our slight adaptation when we say here every single service of communion, wherever you are on your spiritual journey, you are welcome here. You are welcome at God's table. What we're saying in that radical welcome, friends, what we're really saying is, you are worthy. You are worthy in God's eyes. You are worthy at God's table. You are worthy of the welcome to be part of this place. The rest of what Jesus invites us into as followers, the rest of what we hopefully do here as church, albeit imperfectly, the rest of it is simply practices, ways of being that help us hone that sense of worthiness, of being in right relationship. All of it, all of what we do then is grounded in this emphatic proclamation, you are salt of the earth. You are the light of the world. So let your light shine. You are worthy of God's love. Let that be known to the rest of the world. It is a broken, hurting world for which you have much to offer. Here on this day when we hold our annual parish meeting, yeah, we conduct a bit of business necessary for our common life. We elect our leaders. But what we're really about at its core is reminding ourselves that we gather as those people did on a hillside by the Sea of Galilee long ago to hear the words of worthiness that Jesus offers, that light on our ears and touch our hearts, to be reminded that the life we share here is worth celebrating, that we follow Jesus so that we might have life and have it abundantly, to be reminded that we are worthy and it is good for us to be here. It is good for us to be here. You know, 1 month from today, March 5th, 31 of us from this community will make our way to that very seaside hill by the Sea of Galilee where Jesus spoke these words. We will go there as part of making pilgrimage to the Holy Land. We will hold that hillside space for a time, greeted by other pilgrims from around the world who remind us that we are part of something larger, ecumenical, global, cosmic even. And we will be invited to take our places on that hillside to listen and respond. But what I want you all to know is this, that we will hold that sacred space in Galilee for everyone in this community. And we trust you will hold this sacred space for us while we're away. We will feel the palpable connection with you and be buoyed by it. And we will celebrate Holy Eucharist there under the bright Israeli-Palestinian sky and amidst the murmur of the masses of pilgrims coming and going. We will be sure to speak our words of worthy welcome into that sacred air. Wherever you are on your spiritual journey, you are welcome here. You are welcome at God's table. And I trust and know that those who gather here on that day will hear the same words and be invited to respond. Above all, I want you to know this. I want you to know that worthiness in God's eyes is true. I want you to know it down to the bones and the depths of your being, that you are welcome, that you are worthy. May it be healing balm for the wounds we bring along with us in this life. May it flavor your life with delight and goodwill to share. And above all, friends, may it be the source of encouragement for you as you make your way, knowing that you are worthy of God's love. And for that, may God's holy name be praised. Amen.